This is Director Chris Rodriguez of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I want to welcome you to Season 2 of Intelligence Unclassified. This season, we are refocusing our episodes to better reflect NJOHSP's three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. We'll be pulling both local and national experts in all these fields in an effort to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and to offer you a unique perspective on current homeland security trends and issues. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Hi, this is Rosemary Martorana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I'm here today with one of our senior intelligence analysts, Paige Schilling. Paige, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And what we'd like to talk about today is part of our threat assessment, which discusses the increase in deadly attacks against law enforcement. So, Paige, according to our threat assessment this year, from 2015 to 2016, there's been an increase in deadly assaults on law enforcement officers by extremists. Can you tell us a little bit about how you collect this data and made that determination?
Yeah, so in 2016, we had 12 attacks by extremists that resulted in the death of 9 officers. This is in comparison to 2015, when 8 attacks yielded no deaths of law enforcement officers. So in order to collect this data, I do a lot of scrubbing on the internet. If I see an incident that involves an attack on law enforcement, I'll put it on some type of list, and I'll revisit it later to determine motivation. Because sometimes it's not obvious what the motivation behind a law enforcement attack is, whether it's just criminal in nature, or whether it has that extremist element. And that's what I need. In order for it to be added to my list, it needs to be motivated by a group that, you know, has a specific ideology and wants to, hit a certain goal. Officers are in danger both during routine policing activities and also are often direct targets themselves of extremists. So this makes it very complicated for me, and I do a lot of coordinating with other agencies. So I will call FBI or DHS or state fusion centers and say, hey, listen, I have this incident. To me, it looks like it may be terrorism. What are your thoughts? So there's always this process of collecting more information to make that determination, because this list needs to be very specific and, you know, very focused on ideologically inspired attacks.
And when you say you're collecting information about these attacks, are you looking at individuals or lone offenders who execute these attacks, or groups that may work in coordination to coordinate these attacks?
Both. In many cases, there's lone offenders that target police officers, but there are also groups. I'm just making sure that it hits our criteria for terrorism. So first, that it's an act of force or violence. Secondly, it's intended to coerce or intimidate a civilian or government population. And third, that it's socially or politically motivated. So whether it's a lone offender or a group, as long as it hits those boxes, it's terrorism.
So why do you think law enforcement officers were such an attractive target for extremist organizations over the last year?
Often extremists, both international and domestic, have problems with government. They feel the government is oppressive in some way. And law enforcement officers are symbolic of the government. They're here to uphold our laws. They're here, they have a certain authority granted to them by the government. So in this way, many extremists feel that they are an appropriate target. And also, if they have a problem with the government, they may feel like police officers are a more justifiable target. In 2016, we saw an array of ideologies target police officers, which was an increase in such activity from 2015. So when we look at the 8 attacks in 2015, it was mainly homegrown violent extremists or individuals that are inspired and not directed by the ideology of a foreign terrorist organization. We also saw sovereign citizen extremists who don't believe in the authority of government and police officers generally. When we look at the attacks in 2016, we had 12 attacks that, you know, ranged the gambit of ideologies. We had white supremacists, anti-government, environmental rights extremists, black separatists, and the list goes on. So we saw quite a number of ideologies target law enforcement officers this year that hadn't done so in 2015.
Environmental rights extremists, that seems a little out of the norm. Can you give me an example of what that might look like?
Yes. So in this instant, it was during a pipeline protest, and it was in North Dakota, and things were getting very heated between protesters and law enforcement, and law enforcement went to arrest an individual for disorderly conduct, and she fired 3 shots at law enforcement officers. And this is the first incident of environmental rights extremism, an actual act of violence, since 2009.
Wow. So beyond the increase in just the numbers, are there any other trends that you've identified from the data you've collected?
Yeah, so most notably in 2016, there was an increase in deadly assaults directly after perceived incidents of police brutality. So in July, we saw the death of Alton Sterling in Louisiana and Philando Castile in Minnesota, both at the hands of law enforcement officers. So these incidents prompted protests nationwide, and we saw directly after these incidents that we had 2 attacks by Black separatist extremists against law enforcement. So we had Micah Johnson in July. He went to a Black Lives Matter protest. He killed 5 police officers, wounded 9 other officers and 2 civilians. He basically said, hey, I want to kill white people, and I especially want to kill white police officers. Then we saw Gavin Long in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He basically walked down the highway. He waited for law enforcement to approach him. He killed 3 officers and injured 3 others. And in both of these instances, these individuals were not directly connected to any Black separatist group. However, it was, their social media was indicative of their leanings towards that ideology. And the perceived incidents of police brutality is what really triggered them to act. So what does this really mean is that law enforcement should be aware of specifically Black separatist retaliation following incidents of perceived police brutality.
So let's talk a little bit more about that specifically. So tactically, what does all this mean for law enforcement? In other words, how can we prepare for these types of attacks in the future?
So there's really no easy answer to this question, right? We're seeing law enforcement officers be attacked during routine police activities. So while they're conducting search warrants or surveillance or interviews and specifically traffic stops, but we're also seeing law enforcement officers be targeted directly. So that means an extremist isn't reacting spontaneously, they are pre-planning this attack, gathering the materials, and directly finding law enforcement officers to assault. To put that in perspective, we often see sovereigns get pulled over, and because they don't believe in the authority of government or the authority of police officers, they attack. So they didn't wake up that morning and say, hey, I want to shoot a police officer. It was that specific incident that drove them to action. What we saw in 2016 was people actually planning, gathering materials, picking a specific target. We had Edward Archer. He's an HVE. In January of 2016, he walked up to a police cruiser and shot over 10 times into that vehicle and that police officer. And he basically said, I'm doing this in the name of the Quran. So I want law enforcement officers to know that they need to be aware of their surroundings, not only when they are doing routine policing activities, but also to understand that many ideologies want to target them just because of who they are. And I think the first step in being prepared is being aware of the different threats that are out there, being aware of the rhetoric, and making sure all police departments are trained on the threats that are here today nationwide and in New Jersey.
Great. Thanks for joining me today, Paige. And for anyone looking for additional resources, please visit our website at njhomelandsecurity.gov or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.